Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
We're here today to debate whether or not Pokemon Legends ZA looks good?
Yeah, you know, this was not, I think, our first reaction when we first saw this game, but it's been a big point of discussion lately of, does the game look bad? Why do these Pokemon games continue to struggle in the visuals department? So, I don't know how much we're going to debate it, but I think we do want to dig into this topic more.
We do, and, you know, this is a really good lesson in, like, your first sort of... Like, our first viewing of that trailer was within the excitement of the Pokemon Presents, and you can get very easily distracted by things that's happening. So now that we've sat with it for a little bit, watched the trailer a couple more times, definitely seen all the, you know, the discourse that people have been talking about, and, yeah, we're going to just think a little bit deeper about this and talk about whether or not this game actually looks good and whether or not that actually matters, because that's a big question, too. So
what was your first impression? Again, we were watching the stream. We were reacting to it.
It was early in the morning.
What was the first thing you thought when you saw this game?
You know, I've never been, like, a person that can very, you know, easily pick out, like, oh, that frame is weird, or, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that these textures look so terrible. Like, I've never been that kind of person when I look at, you know, a game trailer
that is true
for the
about
first
you.
Time.
Yeah.
So for me, I was more interested in, like, the meat of it, which is, like, I was interested to see, like, who the starters were going to be. I was interested to see what the battle system was going to be like. Like, I was more focused on that aspect of the trailer. So to me, it did not cross my mind in that first moment that was not my first thought, was like, ew, this game looks bad. It was more like, oh, let's see what's new about, like, let me learn more about this game.
Yeah, me too. I think I was probably not really expecting a huge leap. Obviously, I wanted to run better than Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, completely overhauling how these games look on the Switch, I was like, it's probably going to be in the same ballpark.
Right.
But I was like, you know, I was like, we know these Legend games are where they push...
The creativity,
gameplay. So that's what I was really focused on. That's why we saw things like the new battle system. I got excited about
that.
And I thought, it looks fine was kind of my takeaway on the visuals. Like, oh, you're in the city. That's a different setting. But it was not my immediate takeaway of like, oh, this looks bad.
But it also wasn't my immediate takeaway, like, wow, this looks amazing.
Oh, yeah, the flip side also.
Yeah, I was very middle of the road.
Right.
Yeah, because I think, I just had an expectation going in, like, these are how these games look on this system.
Right.
It's very interesting.
So since then, we've watched the trailer a number of more times.
Yes.
And how do you feel about it now?
Well, now I'm biased, right?
Now you're looking for it.
I'm looking for it.
Right.
It's like that thing where you're like... Can you guys see the pimple that I have right now? And no one could see it until you said, can you see the pimple
that's a good analogy, yeah.
It's like, it's totally that thing where, like, once you draw attention to it, now I can't unsee it.
Right.
Now I'm like, oh, look at those textures. It looks bad. Look at that. It doesn't run well right there. Now I'm, like, really picking it out. I'm really glad that I didn't have that impression at first, though, because I think that would have distracted me from getting excited about the content of the game. Now, you know, when I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's definitely some graphical limitations here.
Yeah.
My big question, you know, after the repeat viewings, obviously this is still, the game's not coming out until late 2025, they said. We think it's going to be, you know, later this year.
Yeah.
This is still in progress, right? There's still...
There's only so much you can do.
I'm hopeful that maybe they can polish it a little bit more.
I mean, this is the company that has yet to fix Scarlet and Violet.
True.
So
very true.
I think pretty much what we're seeing is mostly what
we're gonna get
with maybe some small optimizations.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, when I watch it again and again, like, you're right, it's hard to get it out of your mind.
Right.
It doesn't look great. It's not a high-end
pushing
the performance of the Switch. And people have pointed out, like, well, we're getting a game this month in Xenoblade Chronicles X that looks incredible. Guess what? That's actually a 10-year-old game that was on a Wii U. So it makes the comparison even more jarring. But yeah, I understand what people are saying when they're frustrated with the look of this game because it looks very flat. There's not a lot of detail.
It looks pretty rough.
Up close.
Environments looks pretty rough.
Exactly. Yeah. The textures of things look a little bit blurry. So I understand where people are coming from, even if it's not something that I'm personally like fixated on.
Yeah.
But people have been going so far as to say, oh, this looks like a PS2 game. This looks like a GameCube game. Is that going too far?
I think it's going a little too far.
I don't know, actually. Obviously, a GameCube could not do HD graphics.
Right.
But like, there were some really nice looking GameCube games. You could do really nice graphics. So...
That's a little bit dramatic, like overly dramatic in my opinion.
So I've seen some people say Nintendo 64. I think that's going too far because I've been playing Nintendo 64 games recently. And I think, actually, that gave me some good context for my own reaction because I grew up with the Nintendo 64. And those are some games with some really rough graphics. Like a game that I've been looking closely at recently is Jet Force Gemini, which is a game that by today's standards looks awful.
Yeah, looks like
runs
trash.
Bad, blurry, smeary, framey, blocky, everything. Just looks ugly. But in the moment, like it was like, well, these were the games. So I think I just got used to games that were, you know, had rough graphics, had bad frame rates. Those things don't really bother me today because I think I grew up with that. But obviously, the expectation.
But your expectation is different now.
The expectation today is very different. We have much more powerful hardware that's capable of a lot more.
Yeah, that's the thing that's really interesting to me is that, like, it is possible for the Switch to do more.
Yeah.
If you can work on it. Like, Xenoblade's a great example, and, you know, Tears of the Kingdom is a great example. It's like, there are games that look really nice.
Yeah, you need the team that has the right talent, you need the time, you need the know-how.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like Game Freak really has
but it's like,
so
why
many,
not?
Many of these things.
Because they are a highly capable studio that, you know, has a lot of resources.
Yes.
They are very connected to Nintendo. Hey, call them up.
Right.
Can you
so
help
why,
us?
Why does this keep happening?
Why does
you know,
keep
we're
happening?
Almost at the end of the Switch generation. There have been a number of Pokemon games on Switch. I would argue the best-looking Pokemon game on the Switch is the first one, the Let's Go. I think those games look really nice.
I haven't played that in a while, and I didn't play it long enough to have an opinion, so.
Right, like, I think those have more of kind of a stylized approach. I think they look better in the details, and then they kind of went into this.
I think Pokemon Unite looks the best.
Well, that's a whole other thing. That's made by a completely different team. But, you know, now the games have a bit more of a realistic look. They're going for something that's obviously a bit more expansive with all the big open areas. But, like, again, like, last year, Pokemon didn't really have a lot of big new releases. Everybody's saying, oh, well, Game Freak's going to have another year to work on ZA. They're going to come back and really wow us with the visual. Why does this keep happening?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a great... I feel like I want to find like an excuse for them because I love Game Freak. I think they're really talented and capable of doing some amazing stuff. But for some reason, this is an area that has continued to be a challenge for them. And, you know, I also feel like... Then this is, we have another sort of discussion point about this later on in this video, but it's almost like graphics is not the number one thing on their checklist, you know? Mm. Like, they are really not as concerned about the look. They may be more concerned about the mechanics, the gameplay aspects of the game versus the graphics, and I don't know if that's just like a DNA thing for them. It's like, we're just gonna focus on making the game really fun to play. Like, graphically, it'll look fine, but we're not gonna like push the envelope.
Well, I don't know, because you know, those later Pokemon 3DS games, you know, for a 3DS game looked great, but they just seem to kind of have peaked as far as like reaching the limit of what they're capable of doing. I have a theory that maybe, and again, I'm not like a gaming engineer or anything like that to like know the exact details of it, but I feel like maybe it's like they, without doing some complete overhaul of their engine or their tools or the foundation of how they make these games,
it's like not
this is what these games look like on this generation. Obviously, with the Switch 2, one would hope they can go back to the drawing board and come up with something that's more detailed, can better support more detailed types of games. But I just wonder if, like, like we get it, people don't love this, but we're kind of locked into this for the rest of this generation.
Yeah, and they're almost at the end of this generation anyway.
Right.
So it's like, there's no point to...
Yeah, just for one more game.
Updating this now.
It's like, it's not worth it. And we also don't really have the time because we need to get this game out and then we simultaneously are working on the next thing.
Gen 10 stuff or Switch 2 probably.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And we know, you know, Game Freak, I've been to Game Freak. it's a good sized company. It's not the biggest company in
the world. But they have resources. They have talent.
Well, this is why people get frustrated. It's like, this is the biggest entertainment property in gaming.
Yeah.
You make so much money. You have unlimited money. This is
it is a frustration.
This is the premier product that props up this whole thing, the games. And it really is a big disconnect when it's like, it doesn't look good, it doesn't run well, the last game was littered with bugs.
Yes.
It's a huge disconnect, because you would think, like, they should get the royal red carpet treatment, get whatever you need. Carte blanche.
Nintendo, get the resort.
Nintendo rushing to
Nintendo
their aid.
Nintendo should be,
Let us, the people who made the system will come and fix this for you, they will show you, we will live in the studio.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
No, it's really curious to me.
It is.
Like, I feel like they're in this, almost the state of like, oh, you know, we just need to ride it out.
I can fix my own problems, okay?
Or like, I don't know, there's like
leave me alone, Mom and Dad.
maybe they're like, they have the independent streak, like I'm gonna run away from home, you know? But it's like, yeah, it's very interesting. Like, I kind of do feel like they're in this like, let's ride it out state.
Yeah.
In these like sort of end years. But there also might be just this, the sense of like, ownership and pride that they don't want to let go.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Like, don't meddle too deep in our business. Like, we're in a bit of a rough patch, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Well, like, so, leave us alone. We'll figure it out.
So, obviously, we know how it looks. I surely hope that the game, again, Scarlet and Violet had all sorts of bugs. In addition to just the game running badly, looking weird, those were a big problem. So, I would hope that at a minimum, this game at least is clean.
Arceus ran fine.
That game was amazing.
So can we just make it like, at the bare minimum, make it like that? You know, that game was how many years old now? 4 years old now?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's my that's my bar.
Sure. Okay, now here's an interesting and provocative thing I've seen a few people saying that I want to get your reaction to, which is, boy, Digital Foundry is to blame for all of this. They've raised a generation of people who care about nothing but graphics. What do you say to that?
Yeah, as a person that doesn't really care, I mean, I always am like, you know, I get excited when a game looks beautiful. And I'm always like, wow, you know, I do have a wow moment.
We could all be dazzled by graphics.
I'm definitely dazzled, but I'm not. That's not my number one thing when it comes to a game. I can give a game a lot of leeway, and graphics being one of the things that I give a lot of leeway on. If the game is fun, I like the way it plays, I like the characters, I like the story, I like the mechanic, I would be willing to sacrifice graphics for that. But because, you know, we have these kinds of things like Digital Foundry and other people that are very fixated on graphics, it does spotlight it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening right now to us, like, as you are seeing it. It's like, when we first watched the trailer, we were like, this is fine. Like, we didn't really think too much about it, but because this conversation exists, now we can see it.
This was historically a very PC-focused type of conversation because there was the whole element of like, oh, I'm building my rig, and guess what? I'm going to build it to optimize it to make this game look incredible, and you would want to know, like, oh, how can I squeeze 5 more frames? I'm overclocking it. Look at me.
The GPUs, though.
As these consoles became more and more like PCs, that conversation kind of bled into this conversation as well, where, you know, all these things are somewhat on equal footing as far as capabilities. You got the PS5 Pro, where like Sony is making that the conversation about these systems. So I think people just became, across the board, more in tune with this, more educated about like the ins and outs of what makes a game run well or not. So I wouldn't say that like this is a problem, but it definitely gave a whole new level of visibility to these topics that I think a lot of people before were just like, I'm having a reaction to this, but I don't really know exactly what's happening.
And the other thing that I think it did for people, definitely for me, is like, you can see what's possible now. Before, it was hard to see, oh, it looks like this, but it could look like that.
Right.
And when you see it could look like that, then you're like, well, why doesn't it look like that?
The flip side to that is, like, we are seeing these games with this uber fixation on graphic, basically, like, potentially running the industry into the ground. So, like, there is a limit and, like, an appropriate balance point for how much should the emphasis be on the graphics and the technical stuff versus, like, making a game that is a viable
product
in the marketplace, but that's a whole other
thing. It needs to be like a whole ecosystem of like checks and balances as to like, you know, gameplay, graphics, mechanics, like all those things need to work in concert, but it's hard to do that when you're when you have like a very easy thing to show, it's like, look how good my game looks.
Right. Do you remember this discussion around Pokemon graphics being as big as it was before the series moved to the Switch, like when it was on the DS and 3DS? Do you remember?
I don't remember that. Do you?
I don't remember it as much either. Like, maybe it was happening, but maybe I was just not plugged into that to the way that we are now. I think also, you're on a handheld, like there's just kind of an understanding of like, look.
Right.
There's only so much that this little thing
can do.
But now when you're on, you know, a proper console, the expectation is different. You're seeing all these comparison points like, oh my gosh, the new Horizon game like looks incredible, or this or that. Oh my God, Xenoblade is running on the same system. Look at that.
Yeah.
There weren't as many points of comparison for something running on a DS or a 3DS, I think, to get people as worked up. I think also, you know, let's be honest, like, Pokemon's dug themselves a hole where I think people are just ready to pounce on whatever the issue du jour is. You know, in Sword and Shield, like, all the issues of not having all the Pokemon, like, clearly that upset people. Scarlet and Violet running as poorly and having all the problems that they do. Like, people are looking for this stuff now.
Yeah.
And it's, like, there are probably people, like, unlike us, who are watching the ZA trailer and we're just waiting. Like, I'm going to pick this apart. They did it again. Those creeps, they did it again. I can't believe this, and now I'm going to go online and I'm going to be mad about it.
Yeah, they're very mad.
Yes.
We're talking about this, but we're not really that mad.
I mean, I think also, you know, like, the series has evolved. Like, this started on a Game Boy. Like a bunch of dots on a Game Boy.
That's my point.
And it's come so far that, like, everybody has their own expectation for how this series should grow and evolve. But there's really only one path that they're taking. So if you're kind of on the periphery of the line that they're following, you're going to be gripey a little bit.
You're going to be disappointed. Yeah.
Like, what would you like in a perfect world? What would you like these Pokemon games to look like?
I mean, I am
I don't want a Pokemon game that looks like Xenoblade.
I don't want it to be like a realistic game.
Right.
I like the look and feel of like a very wholesome, more like a cartoon style, you know, Pokemon game. I grew up playing this game on handhelds. My expectation is for it to stay in that realm. I'm not looking for like Horizon level graphics or like, you know, like it doesn't need to be like Ghost of Tsushima Pokemon version. You know, for me, I'm perfectly happy. And I, you know, my bare minimum is like, just make sure the game doesn't have bugs. Make sure it can load in a proper, you know, load times are important.
Right,
like
just
generally the world should look like good, but I'm not expecting it to be this, you know, like PS Pro
exactly.
level graphics.
And like at its heart, like this is a cartoon that we're talking about
exactly.
here. This is a cartoon world, so I think, you know, I can understand why people make the comparison to Xenoblade, which has more of a realistic look, but I think, you know, something that can be more true to the different forms of source material that we have, you know, whether it's the TV show or the cards or just anything outside of a game. That's what I would aspire it to eventually become like.
Yeah.
This is another provocative thing I've seen people saying, should they just go back to 2D?
Yeah, that would solve a lot of problems.
There's HD 2D is a beautiful solution for this. Make it look old, but make it look new too. How would you feel about that?
I feel pretty good about that.
Really?
I wouldn't mind that.
Okay.
Do an HD 2D version of Red, Blue, Yellow.
Yeah.
That would be beautiful. I think that's great. That's a very accepted kind of genre now in graphical style.
Yeah.
And it gives you the ability to kind of stay true to the roots of this game, you know? I don't think every game, you know, I do like the 3D Pokemon
games. The 10th generation that we're all eagerly anticipating. What should that be, an HD 2D game?
Oh, wow. That'd be interesting.
Would you go so far as to say that?
I mean, show me what you got. You know, I'm not going to, like, say, like, I would never play a Gen 10 game that's HD 2D or 2D. Like, I would never say that. Like, why wouldn't I? Like, that sounds cool. Yeah. You can make it cool. Like, great. I don't get locked into this, you know? It can be a variety of graphical styles. Just make the game good, you know?
I'd be open to it, but I don't know if it really clicks with what they're looking to accomplish.
I don't think it does.
The games are getting more and more open world, and they did have some interesting ideas with the open world in Scarlet and Violet. I just don't know how well it works in a 2D setting. So again, like if they want to, you know, get back on the track of making these remakes, I think that could be a great way.
That's a cool way to
do that. I haven't loved the look of some of the more recent remakes. But I do think they need to continue, again, to keep the game fresh, to keep the game modern, mm-hmm. to attract the wide audience that Pokemon is attracting in every sort of way. I do think they need something that feels a bit more modern in totality.
I just hate this thing that has just become like, unfortunately, an industry standard, which is like, to make a game bigger means open world.
Right.
Like, I really dislike that because it just totally limits you on what you think you need to do mm-hmm. to make a game feel big, feel modern. Like, it just makes it so like everyone feels like they have to make a 150-hour game that's open world mm-hmm. with like 5,000 side quests and objectives. It's like,
and now it's hard for them to go back once they've done it.
Once they've done it,
they feel like, oh my gosh, they shrank the scope of this game.
Now I take a step back.
I'm being robbed of the content that we had before, even though it broke the game.
Yeah, exactly. You put yourself in such a terrible position to do that.
Right.
Like, I just don't want them to feel like that's the only path to make a modern, next-gen feeling mm-hmm. game. Like, there are so many other paths. Like, you're a very capable creative studio. Like, think about it, you know? Don't just fall into that trap.
Right. Like, again, like, even, you know, having these limitations, they're still very ambitious. They have a lot of confidence in themselves. They're
exactly.
like, watch what a Pokemon game in an open world is going to look like. Watch this. And they kind of bit off more than they could chew. I mean, this is a studio that, like, 10 years ago was making a game that was radically different looking on radically different hardware than they are now. So they've had to, like, in rapid, you know, as fast as possible, modernize in a way that a lot of studios haven't. They had more of a basis of making, like, a modern game.
Or not a handheld game.
Exactly.
Not
exactly.
a handheld game.
Is Nintendo to blame in any way for this? Could they be?
Could they be? Yeah. Perhaps.
In what way?
You know, they definitely, to your point right now, the Game Freak has to sort of keep on pace with whatever Nintendo is doing. They're either, you know, held back or trying to catch up to wherever Nintendo is. So going from, you know, handheld to console was challenging, as we saw for Pokemon. But
are you blaming Nintendo for making a new console?
No, not at all. But like, what if Pokemon was not exclusive to Nintendo and they just had all this experience making console games a long time ago? They were making, you know, PlayStation Pokemon games. What if they made
a
Pokemon?
This is quite a hypothetical.
What if they made a Pokemon game that ran great on a PS Pro?
What if?
So, I mean, it is an interesting thing. It's like they're sort of chained together in a way.
Yeah.
They're like in a three-legged race. They're like legs are tied together.
Right.
And when one stumbles, the other sort of stumbles, you know? And like either you're trying to catch up to Nintendo because you've been making handheld games for, a decade and then having to rapidly learn how to make a console game, or you've never had that console experience because you're waiting for Nintendo to make
it. It is interesting.
It's like a tied experience.
It's a rare situation where both Nintendo and Pokemon are at the height of their powers. Like, typically, like, there's some offset where, you know, when Pokemon first came out, like, Nintendo really needed that. They were sort of struggling to find their footing. And then we talked recently about in the kind of the Wii U 3DS era. Again, Nintendo needed some help. Now, they're both on top. And I wonder what that means for kind of the dynamic between the two, where maybe they both have a little bit of a big head. I have no doubt, though, if Pokemon asked Nintendo for help, like, hey, we're struggling technically.
They're not going to ask them.
Can you help us, please? They would bend over backwards.
Of course.
To do anything to
Absolutely.
Help them with that.
Absolutely. But there's a sense of, like, no, we don't want to ask them for help.
Right.
They don't want to because it's like a very
we'll handle this.
Thing.
We'll, you know, this is our business. We'll handle this
and like,
ourselves.
Because they are at such a strong place of power, Nintendo can't like barge in and be like, let us help you or else.
Right.
They don't have that leverage anymore.
Yeah, there's some diplomacy that's needed with
this
relationship.
Exactly. And Nintendo has to take a step back and be like, okay, we trust you. You do it.
Yes.
You know, we're here if you need it. But they really can't come like guns blazing into their business anymore because they're both very powerful now.
Yes. Now,
really interesting.
Another thing, people saying a lot of things. Another thing I've seen people saying, well, don't worry. Because when the Switch 2 comes out, the Switch 2 backwards compatibility will fix this, or there will be a Switch 2 version of Pokemon Legends ZA, and that will be the one to get because that won't have any problems. Do you buy that?
I don't know about this.
I don't buy this.
Yeah, this seems very shaky to me. This is shaky logic.
Yeah.
This is wishful thinking. I don't know. I don't think this game is going to be a dual SKU game. I don't know.
We cannot say any. We need to know what the backwards compatibility solution is. Like, there's a scenario, like, the minimal solution is, like, it just runs it like it does on your Switch now.
I feel like, yeah, it's minimum.
And then there's an extreme version where it's like, oh, you know, we made this patch to make it run better, run smoother, run cleaner.
Yeah, we up-resed it or we did something to it.
Even in that extreme scenario, though, I don't see it completely transforming what this game is
and what it looks like at its core.
Or if there was a Switch 2 game at its core. Like, look at the, again, much more capable technically team. Breath of the Wild was on the Wii U and on the Switch. It looked basically the same.
Yeah.
Basically the same thing. It's like maybe like the frame rate could be a little bit cleaner. Maybe some of those textures could be a little bit sharper. It's not redefining what this game is. So I think we should just manage our expectations as far as like this being a silver bullet.
It's not going to be a fix-it.
For all the problems.
Yeah. Yes. This cannot be a fix-it. And honestly, like, I'm pretty skeptical that it's going to be even like beyond, you can play this game on a Switch 2. You can play your Switch 1 games on a Switch 2. I really don't think they're going to be doing some crazy, like, all your Switch 1 games get up-resed. Like, they might, like, there's a very small chance, but they don't have to do that.
Right.
And they might want to put those resources into other things. You know, that's just resources.
Yes.
You have a finite amount of things that you can do. This seems like something that they would not be at the top of their list. Like, who cares?
Right.
Yeah.
Last question here. And it's a big question.
Yeah.
And it's worth digging into. Why don't these controversies, and we're at like almost, you know,
a year plus of controversy?
We're well over a year. We're like 5+ years of Pokemon controversies.
Really,
like, why haven't these controversies hurt the sales of these Pokemon games? They're just breaking records. As each game gets more and more controversial, as the fans get more and more mad, they sell more. What is the equation that is happening here?
It's all talk. This is a bark without bite kind of situation. These Pokemon fans are probably one of the most vocally negative people. Like that.
Perpetually frustrated.
Yes. We were kind of talking a little bit about sort of the psychology of this, and you know, we count ourselves as part of this generation of people that grew up with Pokemon. Some people even grew up with Pokemon when they were a little bit younger in their real, you know, what they call the formative years. So we get it. Like this franchise, you know, these games mean so much to these people. It's so linked to your like childhood.
It's your self-identity.
Your self-identity.
In a lot of ways.
So I think that's why that the sales have not been hurt, because you're so attached to it. Even if you're mad,
there's
gonna buy it.
There's gradations of being mad. There's like, well, I'm mad and I'm gonna put out a vitriolic tweet, but I'm still gonna buy it.
Exactly.
Versus like, I'm mad and I'm really not buying it.
I don't think that's happening.
I don't think a lot of these long-term fans have yet hit the rock bottom point to necessarily do that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of kind of like,
it's not like I'm
shield rattling.
Yeah. It's not like I'm boycotting Pokemon forever. You made me that mad.
And you'll hear people like, oh, we're doing a boycott. But it's like, how many people are actually doing this? Like, there needs to be, again, like an actual dent in the bottom line to quote send this message.
Yeah.
Like don't worry. People at Nintendo are making endless reports.
Yeah.
Like endless.
Sentiment.
But as far as like, is this a red alert, like is drastic change needed now? That boils down to the bottom line of money.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of it now.
And it doesn't seem to be hurting the money part of it.
Right. Their reputation, they care about that a lot. I think their pride has been hurt.
Yeah.
I think they want to fix this in the future.
Right.
I'm not sure they know how to. I think they're working through that.
Yeah. And still working through it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's
learning curve.
And I think it might take more time than we think.
Yeah.
For them.
Clearly,
they are
they're definitely struggling. And it, yes, the year was good. I think that helped. That's definitely going to help them.
Didn't hurt.
It's not going to hurt them, right? To take a, you know, take a little bit slower pace. Like they were on a breakneck pace a year before that, which was just not good. But yeah, it seems like you know, given all of these, the ways that they've grown as a studio and they're linked to Nintendo and all this stuff, like, they just need more time, it seems. But yeah, I feel like that's the other thing that's really interesting, thinking from a game, from Game Freak's perspective, is like, they might think to themselves that, you know, we need time, we can fix this eventually, and we have the time to do this, and we can slowly work our way through this because the sales are not hurt. Like, we're not in a desperate state of like, oh my gosh, fix this in the next 6 months or else we're going bankrupt.
Nobody's at risk of forgetting about Pokemon.
That's the thing.
In the immediate future.
That's the thing. So they have all the, they seemingly have all the time right. in the world.
It's kind of a problem of their own creation.
To do this, yeah. It is sort of like a weird, you know, like, you don't have the fear. People say, like, oh, if you don't have the fear, you're not going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you won't quit that awful job because you don't have the fear, you
right.
know? You're just going to stay in the it's awful like, job.
Hey, you should lose some weight. Yeah, yeah, I'll start going to the gym someday. And then you have a heart attack.
Then you, yes.
And then you, it's like, okay.
Then, oh, now you're scared.
It's on.
Yeah.
The repercussions now. Are staring me in the face. Yeah. The Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper of Pokemon is not yet staring them in the face.
That's the thing. Yeah, they don't have that, like, that sort of, you know, desperation yet. So I think that's why the changes are a lot slower than maybe we anticipated.
Yeah.
So yeah, honestly, like, I feel like as long as there's no, like, horrible glitches and just unplayable game-ending bugs in this game, like, I'll be happy. My bar is quite low. I'm not playing Pokemon games to gawk.
My bar is, does it look better than Jet Force Gemini? Because it's really got to. Oh, man.
Oh, that's a very low.
It's a low bar.
That's a bar.
People.
That's like a bar 20 below. Yeah, I mean, that's us, though.
Yes.
That's us. I know we're not, everybody has their different sort yes. of, you know, litmus when it comes to this kind of stuff, but I'm certainly not the kind of Pokemon player that's going to Pokemon games to go, like, marvel at the graphics. Like, that's not why I go play a Pokemon game, you know? Anyways, wow, what a controversy, I guess, if it counts.
I guess.
If it counts as one. What do you guys think? Tell us. Let it rip in the comments.
Do you we know you will.
Do you think this game looks like poopy, or do you not care? Are you mad? If you're mad,
let it out.
Just
yes. Let it out.
It's a safe place. Be nice to each other, but yes, let out your thoughts and feelings, please. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.